Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Anecdote or serious threat? This is Wretched Radio. At what point do anecdotes become a persuasive argument that there are tea leaves that are pointing in the direction of persecution? It's always difficult to make that decision. Are we actually being persecuted? Could it possibly be that a nation founded on free speech, liberty, rights, could all be taken away based on, well, not just a few, frankly, but a lot of stories, starting with the university that banned Chick-fil-A. That's right. The College of Business professor, Cynthia Newman, has resigned in November, actually, from Rider University because they removed Chick-fil-A from a list of restaurants it was considering bringing to campus, citing that the fast food restaurants perceived opposition to the LGBTQ plus community. So Rider University deciding that a restaurant is anti-gay, so they are banning it. This is a trend that is, I think, is kind of scary, frankly. This whole clamping down on what people can think and feel, I don't know that that bodes well for us. Undoubtedly, you've heard something about the story of the Democrat from Minnesota who said anti-Semitic things, although Nancy Pelosi is quite convinced they weren't actually anti-Semitic. Exactly. Nevertheless, isn't it funny how an allegiance changes your tune on a subject? If anybody from the opposite party had said such a thing, they'd be denounced. Nancy gives her party member a pass. Well, because they were so nasty, House Democrats voted 407-23 or 24 to pass an anti-bigotry law. Now, is anybody in this country in favor of bigotry? No. Well, I hope not.
Well, there Does anybody are some, think, but
well, I'm sure not they many. Are, but they are the exception, I would hope. I mean, racism is always a sin. Bigotry is always going to be a sin. There are going to be some, but really, as a nation, don't we agree? You shouldn't be hating on people. You shouldn't be a bigot. You shouldn't be a white supremacist. You shouldn't be anti-Semitic. You shouldn't hate on people. My only concern with a piece of legislation like that, where do we draw that line? Will I be considered a bigot if I simply say, I think this lifestyle is a sin? I fear so. Shouldn't liberty mean that you can hold on to your wacky, horrible beliefs if you want to, but the culture will pretty much take care of it for you? You want a restaurant that's anti-Semitic? Knock yourself out, and let's just see how culture responds to you. And then when you go out of business, it will have been handled. A little concern about this clamping down on everybody because they don't believe exactly what I do. So Cynthia Newman, the dean of the College of Business at Rider University, said, "I'm a committed follower of Jesus. I quit." Quote, "As some of you already know, I'm a committed follower of Jesus Christ. As such, I endeavor every day to do exactly what Chick-fil-A puts forward as its overarching corporate value, to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to me and to have a positive influence on all who come into contact with me." Chick-fil-A can't have that belief anymore? And a professor quits because of it? From the Washington Post, "Mike Pence isn't decent. He's insidious." Wow. Okay. Now, Cynthia Nixon, you have the right to think Mike Pence is insidious. You even have the right to write it in the Washington Post. And then culture has the right to respond to you. This is nasty business. Cynthia Nixon, she's an actor. Because there are no genders in Hollywood. We're all... Why are we all called, instead of actors, why not actresses? Why are we all called actresses? I'm not sure that the progressives thought that one.
Don't they still have a best actor and best actress at the Oscars?
We do.
Wait. Well, Oscar is a man's name. The Academy Awards. They should stop.
And it's a male statue.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen if a male actor becomes transgender? Will she win the award for the... Oh, I can't keep up on all of this. What has Cynthia Nixon acted in? What is she known for?
Sex and the City.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking at a forum in Omaha on Thursday, this is last Thursday, Joe Biden called Vice President Pence a decent guy. Well, how dare he?
That's pretty out of line.
I think it's important to explain... why calling Pence a decent guy is an affront to the real meaning of the word, writes the actor. As governor of Indiana, Pence signed a religious freedom bill that would have allowed LGBTQ discrimination. There it is again. He refused to lift a ban on needle exchange programs until a preventable HIV outbreak reached epidemic levels. Well, you know, if you're told that putting a razor blade to the carotid artery on your neck and slicing is a bad idea and you do it, I'm not sure that we should put Gillette out of business. On the website for his 2000 congressional campaign, Pence suggested support for so-called conversion therapy. I don't think that he did, but which is associated with higher suicide risk for LGBTQ youth. Well, which came first? It seems that group of folks, they do have a higher suicide rate. But is it an external cause or an internal cause? Writing, during Pence's tenure as head of the Indiana Policy Review Foundation, it ran an article that suggested that women should have to be married to obtain birth control. Okay. So he was on that foundation that ran an article that suggested, well, that seems pretty definitive to me that Mike Pence actually said that. He published an article urging businesses not to hire gay people. I'd like to read it. And his congressional website said that homosexuality is incompatible with military service. I don't think I'd actually argue with that. Pence played a leading role in the Trump administration's effort to ban transgender people from military service, and on she goes. These are not the actions of a decent man. The fact that Pence does vile, hateful things while well-coiffed and calm doesn't make him decent. It makes him insidious and dangerous. Again, you can hold on to that attitude if you would like to. That's your right to do so, Cynthia, and I'm sure you're going to let Mike Pence hold on to his values, right? Please note, using words like insidious, dangerous, vile, hateful, that is how unbelievers feel about anything that reflects any semblance of Christian values. This is not an endorsement for the Republican Party. I'm just saying anything that has morality that is contained in the Bible, you're going to get smacked for it. In January, writes Cynthia Nixon, actor, Biden said that one of the things he's criticized for is the fact that he likes Republicans, joking. Okay, well, bless me, Father, for I have sinned, end quote. But the problem isn't getting along with Republicans. The problem is legitimizing an agenda of hateful discrimination. It's about the fear that someone who would give Pence the benefit of the doubt in the name of civility, wow, might also be willing to bargain away our rights in the name of bipartisanship. Submit or else there will be no dialogue. If you have forgotten how much people on the left hate conservatives, even in just the political realm, this is a very good reminder. Here's the last troubling closing lines. When you're fighting for the rights of marginalized communities who are under attack, it's okay to stop being polite. There it is. There you go.
Really?
And you know what? Cynthia, you have every right to stop being polite. That is your right. I'm willing to grant that. You'll return the favor, right, Cynthia? This is not a time for hollow civility. This is a time to fight. Wish she'd define that word. If Democrats are too wedded to the collegiality of the Senate dining room to call out the Republicans who espouse homophobia, how are we ever going to stop them? Yikes. Don't know what she's insinuating. That gets a little bit scary, wouldn't you say? There is a continuing number of stories increasing in mass that suggest this country's changing, Christian, and I think we better start thinking about, all right, should they decide that we can't preach, that we can't teach, that we can't evangelize, or like this 84-year-old widow who is threatened with eviction for holding a Bible study at a veteran senior home in California, how are we going to live? And how many will water it down to avoid persecution? This is Wretched Radio. Guess which year in our modern era has been the most violent year for Christians worldwide. If you said 2018, congratulations, you're correct. And persecution is not abating this year. Christians are being persecuted in more countries than any other religious groups. Millions of believers suffering, labor camps, imprisonment. They're facing physical violence. They're denied basic services like, you know, water, electricity, schooling, employment. Perhaps the least we can do for these dear brothers and sisters is to provide a Bible for them. Millions of persecuted Christians don't have the Word of God. Bible League International wants to change that with your help. $5 a Bible. How many could you send to our persecuted brothers and sisters overseas? At wretched.org/Bible.
Thank you for joining us today. We are always glad when you can spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. Wretched reaches over 1 million people every year with the gospel, and we would like to reach even more this year. And for that, we need your help. Would you partner with us to preach the gospel, equip people to preach and defend the gospel, and to strengthen the local church? Just go to wretched.com/donate for all the details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner, sending a tax-deductible gift to Wretched on a monthly basis. Your faithful and consistent support will help us reach out to millions of people around the world with the hope of the gospel of Christ. If you would, please remember Wretched in your prayers, and if you are financially able, please consider today becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. For all the details, go to wretched.com/donate. Wretched.com/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Please listen very carefully to these 14 words spoken by a man who it is evident is suffering still from the effects of participating in the abortion of his own child.
I'm the father of five, but I only got to raise three of them.
Do you hear the regret? Daddies are victims. Mommies are victims, and most certainly babies are victims. The war for life, it is heating up in this country, and while our government seems bent on taking the lives of innocent human beings up until the moment they are to be born, and now, even after they are born, there's something that we can do to stop this heartache and travesty of justice. Please support preborn.org/wretched. Providing ultrasounds saves lives, saves heartache. $28 per ultrasound. Please engage in the war for life. preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. John, the beloved disciple, author of the Gospel of John and Revelation, also wrote three epistles. In this first epistle of John, the apostle has one main concern, that we may know if we have eternal life and if our faith is genuine faith. If you want to know that you have eternal life, turn to 1 John and see what he has written for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How now shall we live? This is Wretched Radio. An 84-year-old widow in a senior veterans home conducting a Bible study started to run into some heat last September when it was claimed that a discussion between herself and another resident about heaven and hell had caused him to lose sleep and therefore was elder abuse, emotional abuse, and otherwise illegal. She's been leading these Bible studies for a decade. Now the California state is saying, knock it off or you're going to get kicked out.
Oh, there
Cease
you go.
And desist
California.
Or you're done. Now, that is just one of many stories pointing in the direction of Christian persecution. What would you do? That's you in the nursing home. I have every intention of witnessing to people in the nursing home when it's my turn. That's it kind of, quite honestly, I kind of makes the idea not just palatable, but it's like a harvest field that's just, as long as I can maybe wheel faster than the next guy, they're just, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. It's just a euphemism, liberals. It's just a euphemism. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, so I get shut down. I can't do that. Or you get kicked out. What are we going to do? What if that's your grandmother, your mother, going to get kicked out if she keeps doing the Bible study? Stop doing the Bible study? Now, I know that different Christians are going to respond differently, but I think this is pretty self-evident that people who are not all that persuaded about the truths of the Bible will be more than happy to acquiesce. What about the rest of us, however? New Jersey, Supreme Court decision. Did you know about this one? New Jersey Supreme Court decided last year to bar churches from participating in grant programs for historic preservation. In other words, we're giving money to make sure that buildings in New Jersey are maintained because they have some historic value, except churches. We're not going to give you money. All righty then. On and on and on. Canada, the Federalist reporting last Wednesday in the Supreme Court of British Columbia, the court ordered that a 14-year-old girl receive testosterone injections without parental consent. The court has declared that if either of her parents referred to her using female pronouns or addressed her by her birth name, the parents could be charged with family violence. This is nothing to mess around with, these pronouns. This is violence that's being perpetrated here. The girl's father was concerned about the permanent ramifications of cross-sex hormones, as well he should be, suspecting that his daughter's mental health issues might be more of the cause than the effect of her gender dysphoria. He ultimately decided that it would be better for her to wait until she was older before she embarked on any irreversible course of treatment. Well, shame on him. Despite dad's concerns, not to mention, you know, being the parent, the doctor informed the parents that hormone treatments would commence simply based on the express consent of the child and the agreement of the doctors. Parents, schmarrants. The lead doctor claimed that he had the right to usurp parental control. Hello. Due to prevailing law in British Columbia known as the Infants Act. Wowza. Can you just feel the clamp tightening, tightening, tightening? And as it squeezes, we're going to see what comes out. What's going to come out of prosperity followers, NAR people? Okay, go ahead, give my kid testosterone. That's fine by me. I'll stop doing a Bible study. Not that people in the NAR actually do that, but the point is, that's what's going to come out of them because that's what's in them. And this is going to squeeze them and reveal that. What will it reveal in us? Have you ever really given it more than a second's thought? If we, like many generations past, even the Puritan dissenters, persecuted for their faith, are you willing to go to prison and write Pilgrim's Progress too while your blind daughter has to make her way to the prison to bring you food and take the shoelaces that you made in jail so that your family can survive? Are you willing to do that? In the past, they were. Am I? Are you? I think we would do well to start thinking about it. It's always better to think these things through before they actually hit you. And it seems that they are going to hit. When the father sought an injunction from the court in British Columbia, a judge deemed that the daughter was empowered with, quote, consent to medical treatment for gender dysphoria. The father said, "The government has taken over my parental rights. They're using my daughter like she's a guinea pig in an experiment." "It's okay, sir. It's the government." Do you remember years ago, Ronald Reagan saying, what are the, like, the 8 scariest words in the English language? "Hi, we're from the government. We're here to help." Yikes. Persecution. It does not simply get contained to India. 57% jump in church persecution in India. This from BP News. Occurrences where Christians have been taken to temples and made to chant Hindu verses and seek forgiveness for the sin of conversion. In other words, sharing your faith with somebody. 325 incidents against Christians in India. Now, that is getting a little closer to persecution, wouldn't you say? And what is it that is different about Western DNA than Indian DNA or Chinese DNA? Speaking of which, you recall the pastor who was put in jail, I believe back in December, Early Rain Church in China. More than 300 people have been unlawfully taken to the police station. 8 Christian families have lost their homes. This is the state cracking down on the church. Brothers and sisters have been persecuted by authorities in ways no ordinary person could endure. Harassed, beaten, humiliated, locked up without cause, and these are not places with cable TV in every cell. Monitored, followed, threatened. Doors broken down, authorities barging into homes. Visited, photographed, warned. They've been called to the police station for questioning, and authorities have pressured landlords and employers, causing these Christians to lose their jobs and their homes. The list goes on. What will you do if that happens? I was going to say when, but if. If that happens, what will you do? LGBTQ activists, Chick-fil-A back in the news, enraged at Donald Trump. There was a football team that was visiting, and they served Chick-fil-A. Apparently, it's against the law now to serve Chick-fil-A. Last year, 2 major publications wrote scathing articles begging people to boycott Chick-fil-A. The New Yorker and the Huff and Puff and Blow Your Worldview Down post. If you really love LGBTQ people, you just can't keep eating Chick-fil-A. Really? When Chick-fil-A wanted to set up shop in New York City, the New Yorker called it a creepy infiltration of the city. Over to Pittsburgh in later 2018, the city council signed a letter asking Dick's Sporting Goods, Pittsburgh Marathon, to drop Chick-fil-A, Pittsburgh Kids Marathon, 1 mile run for children and their families at the Pittsburgh Marathon. Squeeze, what's going to come out of us? Baker Jack Phillips, good news. He's been squeezed, I think, for about 5 years now. Recently, just this happened, I believe, last week, vindicated by, quote, overwhelming evidence of hostility toward religion. Colorado Civil Rights Commission decided to drop its transgender cake case against Jack Phillips. Yay! There's a victory! In the meantime, well, this will only last until the next president comes along. President Trump calls for free speech on campuses. Don't we already have that enshrined in the Constitution? I'm confused.
No, those are free speech free zones. They're exempt.
A new executive order from the White House will aim to make federal research funding for colleges and universities contingent on their support for free speech. So there's a threat. Allow free speech or you won't get the money. Trump said this would require colleges to support free speech if they want federal research money. Wow. Now there's a sign that we could be in trouble. Honestly.
Would that be a complete 360 from where we started from?
Yeah, Mike Adams, by the way, professor, University of Wilmington. He's a guy, he's been getting squeezed for years. And because he's tenured, he's fought the good fight, but only because he's tenured. Otherwise, he would have been out the door. And speaking of Mike, recently in a debate with a pro-choice Christian, is there anything we could learn from that little exchange? Yeah, next on Wretched Radio.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sensus literalis. The Bible is to be read in the literal sense, the way the author and original audience would have understood it. There is no code, no secret meaning to be uncovered. The Bible is plainly written so that all people can know God through its pages. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Joey, this has got to be a typo here. This is Wretched Radio. It says right here on the piece of paper where you put all of these clips for us to listen to, it says two Christians debate abortion. That can't be. Who? Where did we find two Christians, one on each side of the issue? Apparently Summit Ministries found him. Dr. Mike Adams, I believe he's a doctor, and a Dr. Parker, who is an abortion doctor. Hey, Mom, guess what I'm doing for a living? They came together for a debate, thought it might be instructive to listen to the exchange, and we're really only going to listen to one side because Mike does a good job of recapping the arguments of the pro-abortion, quote, Christian, end quote, doctor. So you'll get the gist of his arguments, but this should sharpen us up. How do I know that? Because Mike Adams is a student of the life issue. I do believe, no, in fact, I'm certain of it. He's watched Life is Best. It's our pro-life series. It's excellent, by the way, that it comes with a study. I don't know if it does it come with a study. It has a study guide. Somewhere on our website, there's a study guide to go with Life is Best. Mike Adams has watched it, and he's applied what he learned there in his debate with the pro-abortion Christian.
I am here this evening to defend a very simple logical syllogism. The major premise, or the first premise, is that it is wrong to intentionally kill an innocent human being. My minor premise, second premise, is that abortion does, in fact, intentionally kill an innocent human being. Therefore. And my conclusion is that, therefore, abortion is wrong.
Ba-boom, ba-bing. Two premises, a conclusion. Killing an innocent human being, wrong. The unborn is human. Abortion takes its life. Therefore, abortion is wrong. That is a syllogism we would all do well to memorize.
President Alan Guttmacher, the president of Planned Parenthood, stated back in 1933, talking about life beginning at conception, he says, "This all seems so simple and evident that it is difficult to picture a time when it wasn't a part of the common knowledge." Peter Singer, a controversial pro-choice philosopher from Princeton University, is also honest about when life begins. And he says, "There is no doubt that from the first moments of its existence, an embryo conceived from human sperm and eggs is in fact a human being." Colorado University philosophy professor David Boonen says that a human fetus, after all, is simply a human being at a very early stage of his or her development.
Well, that just makes it a little bit more gruesome, doesn't it? Yeah, we know it's a human being.
Abortion doctor Warren Hearn says this: "We have reached a point in this particular technology where there is no possibility of denial of an act of destruction by the operator. It is before one's eyes. The sensations of dismemberment flow through the forceps like an electric current.
Lovely. Professor Mike Adams, University of Wilmington, Delaware, responding to Dr. Parker, who claims to be a Christian like, you know, George Tiller, but still aborts babies.
And he says that between 22 and 25 weeks, that life is in a vague state. So in other words, he's agnostic on the question of whether we have a life between 22 and 25 weeks after conception. Now, that's bizarre because in the previous paragraph, also on page 150, he says that a human life is viable at 22 weeks. How do you become a human life that is viable at 22 weeks and then suddenly for 3 weeks float in this vague state between life and not life? It is absolutely preposterous. It is absolute junk science.
Mike Adams, University, not Delaware, North Carolina, Wilmington edition, did a little homework on the doctor. I love that. If you ever have to debate somebody, you would do well to read a lot of your opponent's material.
I look around this room right now and I see that we are all equal to one another, and there's a reason. We are valuable not by virtue of the kinds of things that we can do. We are valuable by virtue of the kind of thing that we are. It is our basic human nature that gives us value. And you either have it or you don't. It does not exist in degrees. You have it or you don't. And every single individual in this room has that basic human nature. And that is what gives us value. And that is why it is wrong to intentionally kill an innocent human being.
Well, I would actually support that with, because the Bible says so. Without that, really, what does make humans different than animals? Why don't we put little children to death? Because, well, there's just too many of them floating around. Well, from a secular standpoint, you can't even make that argument. It's only from the Christian world when you can state, no, humans aren't a nuisance. They are valued by God. Therefore, they have value. Therefore, we don't kill them.
She says that the pro-choice position is exclusive.
By the way, this is a quote of Nancy Piercy. I believe she's Roman Catholic.
She says that the pro-choice position is exclusive. It says that some people don't measure up. They don't make the cut. They don't qualify for rights of personhood. In contrast, the pro-life position is inclusive. If you are a member of the human race, you are in. You have the dignity and the status of a full member of the moral community. That is, you have infinite value from the point that you were, in fact, conceived.
I don't know how that plays with pro-aborts, but I got to tell you, one worldview looks pretty bleak. The pro-life worldview, wow. That's actually pretty cool.
Dr. Willie Parker simply cannot decide where human value comes from. He says this, that 91% of the abortions are performed in the first trimester, where it cannot be said that they have any distinctive parts. He's simply not telling the truth. Because on the previous page, page 96, he says, after every abortion, I make sure I find every part and I place them together, recreating the fetus.
Oh, boy.
So there you have it. I guess if he put the parts together, there really were parts.
That is just excellent. Read your opponent's material.
He says an acorn.
By the way, this is again Dr. Parker. He's the pro-abort Christian.
He says an acorn is not an oak tree. Yes, I am aware that an acorn is not an oak tree, but it's very important to remind people that a human fetus is not an acorn, and that's why you can't step on it, you can't crush it, you can't feed it to a squirrel with moral impunity. So I believe that analogy absolutely fails.
I haven't heard that perspective. But the response that I've always heard is, it doesn't look like an oak tree to you, but that's what's there, and that is what it will look like with time.
Imagine that a woman is pregnant in New York City, and she has a viable fetus. She is 22 weeks pregnant. If she gets on a plane and she flies to Bangladesh, guess what? That human fetus is no longer viable, because viability in Bangladesh doesn't occur till about 35 weeks. So let's just assume she's hanging out in Bangladesh. She doesn't like it very much, so she decides that she's going to come back to New York City. Are we actually going to suggest that she had a person there in her uterus in New York City, a non-person in Bangladesh, who, when returning to the United States of America, became a person for the second time?
Mike Adams, knocking it out of the park in a debate with a pro-abort doctor who calls himself a Christian, Dr. Willie Parker.
Dr. Parker says on page 150, once again, that the human fetus is viable at 22 weeks. And then 44 pages later, on page 194, he says that he performs abortions at 25 weeks. So that's interesting, isn't it? If there's a philosophical difference between a human in a biological sense and a person in a philosophical sense, and we are to say that that is viability, that that's the difference, well, what does that mean? That means he kills people for a living by his own standard.
Right to his face. Outstanding work from Mike Adams, professor, tenured professor at University of Wilmington in Montana. Why not? North Carolina, Delaware,
somewhere
whatever.
Somewhere in the Western Hemisphere.
Somewhere on the planet. He's a professor and he's tenured, doing a bang-up job defending life. Would like to encourage you, I can't help it. Would you please help preborn.org/wretched? They've opened up a life center in New York City, right where more black babies are aborted than born, to fight the good fight. And they sure could use your help at this time. It's raging right there. Would you join the battle? Preborn.org/wretched. This is Wretched Radio. And now, another great story from Cindy Marty of the Tomorrow Club.
A mother of a Tomorrow Club's child who's a university teacher, she just got saved because her daughter was going to the Tomorrow Club. Now she's bringing the gospel into her university.
Over and over and over again, we hear those stories and we never grow tired of them. Eastern Europe is being impacted by the Tomorrow Clubs, kids meeting clubs. The kids come, they learn about Jesus, they sing songs, they pray prayers, they get some snacks, and they get loved on, they get saved, they bring the gospel home to mom and dad, they get saved, then they bring the gospel. It's like the shampoo commercial, and so on and so on and so on. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? It's $30 a month for 30 little disciples. It's having a massive impact in Eastern Europe. You can do that at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
If I may take a moment on behalf of all of us here at Wretched, thank you. Thank you for your ongoing generous support of Wretched. While money most certainly is the root of all kinds of evil, it is nevertheless really helpful to pay the bills. And we are ever so grateful that you have allowed Wretched to pay our bills for over a decade now. And we do not take your generosity lightly. We are reaching more people than ever before. And not to sound greedy, but we'd like to reach more. If you've never supported Wretched before and you are able, would you consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner? Because with your monthly tax-deductible support, we can reach more and more people who are in desperate need of hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the more you give, the more we are able to give away. So please, if you are able, consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Get all the details now at wretched.org/donate. Wretched.org/donate.
The main character of missions is the theologian preacher who goes out and proclaims the word of God. And I would suggest to you that the great majority of missionaries on the field do not fit this description.
The Masters Academy International, they're working tirelessly to change that. We have pastors all over the globe, but in so many countries, they have no means to get educated. The Master's Academy International trains indigenous pastors to become theologians, scholars, and right expositors of the word. Think of the impact of a pastor preaching rightly to his congregation, who then goes out and shares the good news that they've heard preached rightly. Small investment, massive impact. Could you support a pastor to be trained as a theologian? Wretched.org/pastor.
Important dates in Christian history. 1910 to 1915. The Fundamentals are published and demonstrate the great divide in American Christianity, known as the Modernist Fundamentalist Controversy. Fundamentalists began to set themselves apart from society as a witness for Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Just sit back, relax, and leave the driving to Mike Adams. This is... Where did that accent come from? Exactly. This is
watching
Wretched
game shows
Radio.
Again.
Mike Adams, professor, University of Wilmington in North Carolina, in a debate with a man who claims to be a Christian who is a pro-abortion doctor. In other words, he commits abortions, which I think is a lot better, more accurate word than performs abortions. Having a debate, Summit Ministries put this together. And I think Mike Adams does such a super fine job of laying out the pro-life case. Now, please note, this particular debate is not a theological debate. Now, I believe that you need theology to support your logic and reason. Without objective truth, there really can be no logic and reason, merely preferences. Nevertheless, Mike doing a bang-up job of applying the SLED argument against Dr. Willie Parker. You remember SLED? The big question in the life debate is, what is it? And people will respond and say, it's really small. Okay, so we're two-year-olds, we don't kill them. Level of development, it's not as developed. Okay, my teenager isn't as developed as I am as a grown adult, but I'm not going to kill my teenager. Environment, it's inside of the mother's womb. Since when does zip code or location determine whether or not somebody's human? And then finally, degree of dependency. Well, it requires mom to stay alive, just like a lot of people require drugs to stay alive, but we don't kill them. That is your sled. Jump on it and ride it to the finish line if you're ever in a discussion about abortion.
Dr. Willie Parker says that he will not do race-selective abortions. He also says that he will not do sex-selective abortions. So he has declared that it is wrong to engage in racial discrimination and gender discrimination. I absolutely agree. But do you see what the problem is here? He has traded away two forms of discrimination, race and gender, in exchange for three: size, level of development, and degree of dependency. I, for the record, am opposed to all five of those forms of discrimination.
Excellent stuff. That sometimes you can actually agree with your opponent on a particular line or statement. You don't give ground. You're demonstrating I'm reasonable. And in this case, you can put it in your hand like a club and just bang on him for it.
I have in my materials here a article by Dr. Mary Calderon, who was the International Medical Director of Planned Parenthood. She said that the number of women dying as a result of unsafe abortions had gone all the way down to approximately, I think it was 256 in the year 1957. Now, the problem is that once Roe versus Wade then came along and became legal, the number of abortions being performed every year went up by several hundred thousand. So it raises a fundamental question. Does it make sense to kill several hundred thousand innocent human beings to save several hundred?
That's a powerful statistic. I think the number, that was a Planned Parenthood number from 1957. I do believe in 72, the year before Roe v. Wade was passed, the number of women who died, don't take this one to the bank, but it was well under 100. And yet that is the argument that gets used. All these women are going to die in back alley abortions if it's not legal. Well, they won't die if they don't perform something that's illegal. Furthermore, do we really want to sacrifice 60 million babies for that?
Yes, he did mention the fact that there have been 11 abortion providers who have been killed in about the last half century, but there have been 60 million innocent human beings aborted. That's something he didn't mention. And they matter. They absolutely matter because they're valuable, because of their basic human nature.
Yep. The killing of abortion doctors, wrong, sinful, wicked, wrong, denounced by everybody. But why? Why would we denounce that? The Christian answer is because it's a human being, and you do not have the authority to take anybody's life. That's the government's job, not yours. You can't go indiscriminately murder people because you don't like them or you don't like what they do. I can say that as a Christian. The secularists can't say that. It's merely a preference that you don't murder abortion doctors. It's not a preference when God says, thou shalt not murder.
Roe versus Wade was just simply absolutely wrong, and it was wrong in two ways. First of all, it said that there was no scientific consensus in 1973 on the issue of when life begins. The fact of the matter is that there was scientific consensus. Now, what's crazy about Roe versus Wade is it said that a woman's reproductive right to choose was inextricably bound to the question of when life begins. It then said, we don't know when life begins. So guess what? That means you don't know the parameters of a woman's right to choose. That decision was a scientific and logical disaster. Yeah. And that is why it must be absolutely overturned.
You hope that it will be, but then it's going to become a states' rights issue.
As I reach to the back of my hand, and I pluck the back of my hand, there are hundreds, and if I keep doing it, thousands of live skin cells that are plunging to their deaths. There is no one in this room who thinks that I just committed mass murder, because we all understand the difference between a part of a human being and a distinct living and whole human being. So when Dr. Parker talks about the sperm and the egg being alive before conception, that's true, but they die off in the process of coming up with a new distinct living and whole human embryo. This debate is not about how parts of human beings die naturally. It's about intentionally killing complete human beings, distinct living and whole human beings.
Yep. Grateful. Mike Adams doing an excellent job. I'm hearing Life is Best, our pro-life resource, all over this presentation.
Dr. Parker says you cannot murder a fetus, you can only murder a person. That's a legalistic argument. But if you want to come up with an example in this country of something that was legal but immoral, think about the 1927 case of Buck versus Bell, in which the state of Virginia was forcing women to be sterilized simply because they were mentally deficient. And in affirming that law in the state of Virginia, Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes said this, three generations of imbeciles are enough. I want you to think about that for just a second. And that came back to bite us as that phrase was used against us in the Nuremberg trials a few years later. There is a distinction between the legal and the moral.
Yeah, it came back to haunt because eugenics in Germany and eugenics in the United States is still eugenics.
Dr. Parker suggests that this is about preferences. He has stated that choice should be the default position. We should simply trust the woman, and choice should be the default position. In other words, he is saying abortion is just a preference. You have seen this idea expressed before when you see bumper stickers that say, don't like an abortion, don't have one. Imagine some fool driving down Market Street with a bumper sticker that said, don't like slavery, don't own one. Think about how obscene that would be, because it confuses a truth claim with a preference.
Bing. Mike Adams, I can't recall which lesson this was in Life is Best, but we deal with the arguments about a woman and her body and her right to choose. Mike Adams must have been studying that one pretty carefully.
Dr. Parker talks about personhood and asks the question as to when a woman loses her personhood. At what point does that happen? Here he is actually trying to set up a situation involving competing rights between the woman and between the unborn. He's done this in the past, saying that a fetus cannot be more important than the woman who is carrying it. That is absolutely correct. They have equal rights, and that includes the right to life. But you cannot pit the right to life against the right to liberty or against the pursuit of happiness. Why? Because there is no moral right to intentionally kill an innocent human being, even if it makes you freer, even if it makes you happier. Because if we did that, that would negate all rights for everyone, including the right to life itself.
And one closing comment from Mike.
We're just opposed to abortion, but we're not necessarily comprehensively pro-life. Let me just say what an arrogant thing that is to say. Just because we are opposed to the intentional killing of innocent human beings does not mean that we are responsible for curing all of society's ills. But here's what's important. We actually are doing things for women facing difficult situations. And the pro-life movement has more crisis pregnancy centers than there are abortion clinics in this country.
Mike Adams reminding us Christians are pro-life from beginning to end and in between. Once again, a shout out. Please, if you can, support preborn.org/wretched. They're fighting this good fight in the heart of the battle in New York City. Well done, Professor Adams. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.